the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root, from KyratesWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site, recording on New Year's Eve in the early afternoon with my co-host, Seth Cox, from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, and our last show of the year, or might be the fact, depends on when I get this up, might be the first show of the 2025 year. And you guys just missed the pod before the pod. We had some great conversations. We're going to talk about this Arizona Cardinals team that lost 13-9 to the Los Angeles Rams on Saturday. A game where Kyler Murray was picked off two more times. He has eight picks in the last six games. And the narrative is changing, Seth, that we've got a lot to talk about, don't we?
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of questions heading into the offseason and questions about where this team goes from here. But, you know, I think if you take a step back and look at where they're at overall, you and I would agree that they made the progress that we were hoped they would have made this year. It just didn't occur in the way that we had hoped.
Nope. There was too much hope given. they played from ahead at this point. So they won those four games in a row. They played from ahead and then faded late. We've seen this a million times, fading after the bye, but we want to talk about this game. And I want to start, Seth, is looking at that game, a game in which they played, like, if you look at it well, offensively, 396 yards total offense, something that the Rams have not been given up. They hold the Rams to 257 yards, 13 points, and yet they lose 13-9. Let's talk the blame game. Where do you put the blame on first? Like, what do you blame for this loss ultimately?
I think it comes down to this is a team that, for whatever reason, and you and I were talking about it off the air, they just don't make plays. And that's on every side of the ball, right? Offensively, defensively, special teams. There's just too many plays left on the field. And if you want to attribute that to one guy and say that, you know, Kyler Murray doesn't make plays, then we can listen to that. If you want to attribute that to, if you want to attribute that to the entire team, then that's something that I think is interesting to have the conversation about. Something you and I talked about off the air. This game, people are really going to be like, hey, you know, look how well the defense played. They only gave up 257 yards to the Rams, right? Like, this Rams team had been rolling offensively. And you and I had talked about that. That was a false narrative.
They didn't create any turnovers. They had no sacks. And so they were schematically limiting them. But truth be told, anytime you hold a team to 13 points, you should win the game.
But we also talked about this before the game, right? Just that you look at Matthew Stafford's last four games coming into this game, this was statistically his second best game. So of his last five games played, statistically, this was the second best game he played. Most yards, 189 yards passing. He hadn't had more than 183 yards, except for that Buffalo game. And so when you go back and you look at it, the biggest thing coming out of this game, is that exactly what you said. They did not get a sack on Matthew Stafford in their five wins.
Hasn't been sacked in a month.
Yeah. And in their last five wins, Jess. So their last loss was against that blowout against Philadelphia. In the last five wins, he's been sacked two times. He was sacked twice against the New Orleans Saints.
And the not since then.
And the not since that game. And then on the same side, he hasn't turned the ball over. One interception. He's thrown one interception since the middle of November. Yes. So when you look at it from that perspective, that's what makes a difference, right? The I hate the stat, and I'm not a fan of how they label it, but turnover worthy plays by PFF. That opening touch, not opening, but the Rams' first scoring drive, the Cardinals on back to back passes should have had two interceptions.
They could have. Jared Williams should have had one. More so, Budda Baker should have had it in the end zone right after that.
Right. And so two plays, no interceptions. And, you know, it's something that we talked about off the air. It's, to me, and not from a defensive, just a defensive perspective, but overall, there are too many chances left on the field by this team, and that explains why they are where they are. One, you don't have, and this is something that we've known, you don't create negative plays. You do a nice job of not allowing positive plays, but in the end, you don't create negative plays as the Arizona Cardinals. So, you know, this team, you and I talked about it off the air, really, really average in every sense of the word, right? Their expected win loss is 8-8, 7.9 wins, 8.1 losses. So they're right where they should be in that conversation. Their points for is 15th, their points against is 14th. Literally 22.1 points for per game, 22.2 points against per game. Offensively, they're 11th in yardage, 18th in defensive yards allowed per game. So slightly above average, slightly below average. Where the and then offensively, they're 17th in turnover. So slightly, you know, one below 16th, which is average. The one statistic, well, the two statistics that they are not average at or right around that average at are turnovers forced and sacks. They don't create negative plays for the opposition, hardly at all. And that's a really hard thing to overcome when you're fine, you know, you give up more yards than you get typically. Your points are right around even, but you create no negative plays for the opposition. And that is something that is hard to overcome, because when you don't create negative plays, then you don't create short fields. You don't create opportunities to make plays coming off of that. And this is a team that recently they miss kicks that come back to haunt them.
Yes.
Between us, do you know how many extra points Chad Ryland's missed this year?
Is it two or three?
Extra points, he's missed one.
One.
And that was last game.
Okay.
Yeah, field goals, he's missed four now. So that's the thing, right? So in this game, and we can, you know, break it down, we can get into the nitty gritty, but in this game, there's a couple plays that stand out. Everybody's going to go, Tyler's interceptions. That's why they lost the game. Well, if you catch two balls that Matthew Stafford threw to your defense, the Rams don't score a touchdown.
Yeah.
And if you make your extra point, you're in a position to kick a field goal not once, but twice in those drives or those situations heading down the stretch. And that is, in the end, where you can look at from the Cardinals' perspective this year.
For me, I place the blame on two spots in game decisions. One major game decision, and that was electing. And I, in fairness, I said this, I tweeted this in the moment. In the second quarter, when they were at the 20, they could have kicked a 38-yard field goal to take a 3-0 lead. I understand. I understand that 4th-and-1 going for it. I do, except in that situation. It was in the second quarter. The defense is playing well. It's a scoreless game. You don't turn down the opportunity for points. And if it were for that decision alone, changing nothing else, that last drive is very different, because instead of that pass play, then they're trying to run the clock out and kicking a game-winning field goal against the Rams. In that last one. So that's one thing, because that was a coaching decision. I thought that was, and people will say that if in a scoreless game, take the field goal every single time. Why would you not? Especially when your defense is playing well. The second thing, it's kind of going what you're saying. Failed playmaking. Neither of Kyler's interceptions were bad decisions or bad throws. They were plays that just didn't get made. The dropped interceptions were like Garrett Williams, Buda Bakers, those were plays not made. They were breakups. They did ultimate. So those weren't, catastrophic. The two failed plays that led to Kyler's interception had the worst case scenario. Marvin Harrison had no business not getting his hands on the ball in that case. That ball was thrown in a way that Marv should make that. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know how, at his height, and in his leaping ability, how you missed the ball. That was misplayed by Marv. And it turned into an interception. It actually wasn't that catastrophic, because it was a fourth down throw. And Cameron Kitchens ran it out and they took over at the 11. So it was like a bad punt. Like a punt, essentially, in that scenario. The other one is, Trey didn't make a play. Kyler had put a little sauce on that throw. Whether he should have or not, he did feel heat. Trey didn't get turned around in time, and it goes off his helmet. He should have caught it. He failed to make the play. And then Akello Witherspoon made one hell of a play on that interception. And that was absolutely the worst case scenario that could happen. Like, referenced the Packers game in 2021. It was literally the same thing. The worst case scenario in that situation, A.J. Green doesn't turn around. It goes off of him, and then Rasul Douglas makes a great interception. If it's not an interception, they're fine there. If it's not an interception, it's second and goal at the 5. They get to try it again, but Witherspoon made. And so it was a combination of coaching decisions, of failed play, like playmakers not making plays that they should make, and then just some dumb luck as well. And that's kind of, honestly, what did Kyler do during the bye that caused the misfortune? Because he has, you can not really question the decision making of any of the interceptions. Pretty much you can question the way he threw it, but his 8 interceptions in the last 6 games, there were none of them where, like, we've seen other quarterbacks around the NFL, like, why did he make that throw? It was just a poorly thrown ball or a great play. And so I don't know what Jonathan Gannon or Kyler did, but if he, if he stepped on a black cat, if he crossed, like, if he, I don't know. But between the coaching decisions, the failed plays made, that's where I put the blame. That's where I put the blame.
Yeah, and I mean, and we'll talk about this on later on this week, maybe. But with the news coming down that Brock Purdy is out the final game of the season.
Oh, did that just happen?
It just dropped right now. So Joshua Dobbs.
If they come on
revenge game, right?
You can't lose to Joshua Dobbs.
So
cannot.
And that comes from Matt Maiocco of I think he's a Niners beat guy.
He's a Niners beat guy for one of the newspapers over there. So that's they're breaking news that you will hear after the news is already broken, because we're not recording live. I was waiting to hear on that. So no Brock Purdy. The Cardinals need to win that game for sure.
Right. And it doesn't really affect anything, right? They're going to pick 15th, I think, is where
they're 14th in the draft order right now, but that can vary somewhere between 12th and 17th, I think.
Yeah, 17th is the lowest they can go. You would expect Atlanta to win, right? They're playing Carolina. Who loses to Carolina? So
yeah, who does?
Cardinals. So
they're already locked into a third place schedule. We already know that. We've both written about it.
Yeah. So it's just one of those situations where now they're sitting, at playing for pride, basically. Like the difference between, a winning game and because they'll be the bottom of wherever they're tied or wherever they're tied with or whomever
strength
they're tied
the with. Schedule.
Because they had the schedule. They had the second hardest schedule in the or third hardest schedule in the NFL this year, right? Like that's the funny thing is you had a fourth place schedule and you had the third hardest schedule in the NFL. So, you know, you look at these things ahead of time and you go, oh, they're gonna be, you know, third place schedule versus fourth place schedule. Well, they had a fourth place schedule this year and
how right. And honestly, that only affects three games.
Right, exactly.
Out of 17. Three games out of 17. Are based on your place. And so you're going to play everyone in your division. You're going to play everyone in one NFC division and then one AFC division. And then you're going to play the whatever place in this case next year, the Cardinals will play the third place team in the NFC North and NFC East. And then the third place team in the AFC North, which is the Bengals. So,
right. And you look this year, right? The Commanders were the last place team from the NFC East.
Commanders going to the playoffs.
Yeah, Commanders going to the playoffs. The Patriots were the last place team in the AFC East. Oh wait, no, that was part of their schedule. It was
their Chargers. The Chargers were
the Chargers who they beat, right?
Yeah, they beat them. And the Chargers are going to the playoffs.
And then lost to the Carolina Panthers. So it was the Panthers game, really, if you look at it, that was kind of the folly of the entire season.
And I talked about that. I wrote about this, I think it was on Monday. Like, they're close, but they're not there. Like, if you look at their losses, they have lost 9 games. 6 of those games are to teams are in the playoffs. There was only one egregious loss. We know that's the Panthers game. That's a loss. That is inexcusable. And, like, before we said that, like, even if they were still in playoff contention, we said if they lose to the Panthers, they don't deserve to go to the playoffs. It actually eliminated them. And then you can argue that they should have won one of those Seattle games. But ultimately, that's a team with a winning record. So they lost to teams going to the playoffs, and they beat teams who didn't make the playoffs. That makes them a mid team, an average team, and that's what we've been talking about. Let's move on from this. Coming up next on the Rise of Sierra podcast, Mr. Cardinals talking. Well, we want to talk about a little bit about the narrative about this Kyler Murray, and we'll have more talks about this, but let's talk Kyler Murray. That's coming up next. Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Mr. Cardinals talk on the web. Kyler Murray is the talk of everyone these days, and the narrative has shifted. It like we you know, before it wasn't about his playmaking. Back before Jonathan Gannon came around, it was about his work ethic. Since Jonathan Gannon was hired, everything's been positive. But now is the narrative that Kyler Murray isn't the guy. I still hear the two short stuff, whatever. But the latest is that you can't trust Kyler late in games. What do you think? Because I've got the stuff. Do you really think that you can't trust Kyler late in games? And I know your opinion about Kyler thing. Move on for Kyler, yes or no, whatever. But what's the question you're going to always ask?
Right. Where do you go with him? Or go from there. And so that's the first question. So when you talk about fourth quarter comebacks this year, Kyler is Kyler's seventh, tied with Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, Matthew Stafford. When you talk about game winning drives this year, Kyler's eighth, behind Patrick Mahomes, Sam Darnold, Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, and Jaden Daniels, and Jalen Hurts. So, I mean, if we're going to go with the route that you can't win or late in games, blah, 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 well, I mean, I guess you can't win with those guys either, right? you know, I think Ralph Amston, who's runs Rivals for the Arizona high school stuff in Arizona. He's never really been a Kyler guy, but he's never been anti-Kyler. And he kind of sums it up perfectly, right? Like he's an average quarterback, and that's what he's played like this year. And I think more than anything, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, but I definitely know that you and I have talked about it. I think more than anything with Kyler, what it is it's not how average he is.
It's his in-season inconsistency.
Right.
That he can look MVP, and then he has very average games. And I'm actually gonna dispute the point to say he's average. His floor is average. He's an average quarterback at his worst. And so he's played like that over the last 6 weeks. He's played both well and not well. It's been kind of those one things, but that's the thing. Like, at least you know this, that the floor that you're getting is average quarterback play. But do you not trust him at the end of games to make plays?
No, not at all. Because, I mean, he's shown that even this year, you know, he's done that. And you know, it's one of those things that we talk about, that when you look at averages, right, he's above average in fourth quarter comebacks. He's above average in game-winning drives. I know people don't agree with this, but he's above average in yards. He's 13th in yards, ahead of favorites like Jane Daniels and Justin Herbert and Bo Nix, who are all better than Kyler Murray, right? The issue becomes he is lower, below average right now in touchdown passes, and you know he's right in the middle of interceptions, and so those are the things.
But that you know hurt. What? His interception percentage is still only 2.2%.
Yeah, so his interception percentage, because you know he's right
which,
at
by the way,
league average.
Which, by the way, isn't bad. Did you know that? I believe the Cardinals I think he has at 2.1%. I think he has the lowest interception percentage in franchise history.
Well, and that's, you know, and you and I have talked about this, and we'll continue to discuss it off, you know, as the season goes along. But the reality is, and this is what I try to stress to people, and people always go, well, don't you want better than this? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Like, it's ideal would be that the Cardinals are perennial Super Bowl contenders. But can you point to me in their storied history of where that's ever happened? And, you know, people, well, you got to keep trying. Okay, 100%. I agree. Keep trying. But in six seasons, you know, Kyler has gotten you to the playoffs once. And we can definitely 100% have conversations about how the seasons have ended. I would agree with that. But he's gotten you to playoffs once, and then in this season he had you in the playoff hunt late into the season. 2020, he had you into the playoff hunt late in the season. So three of his 6 years, he's either gotten you to the playoffs or you've been in the playoff hunt late into the season. So those are all, you know, positive things. Obviously the negative things being that we would like to see, you know, more growth from a touchdown perspective, right?
Yes.
But
we have questions about that. So we're going to talk about the offseason. How much of that is Kyler and how much is that a poorly designed passing scheme? That's a conversation we have to have, because,
well, just this is, I mean, that's something that you and I have brought up, and I know that there are very few, if any, people that aren't overly emotional about these conversations, right? Like they want to have this conversation and be able to have their opinions that are based on feelings, right? And not necessarily what's happening. And one of the things that you and I have talked about that just doesn't make any sense, and I'm going to continue to beat this dead horse as much as I can. 10 yards and under for Marvin Harrison Jr. is almost an automatic catch. I mean, this guy is... In 10 yards and less, he has 25 receptions on 34 targets. Okay, so excellent. he has zero, still zero, passes at or behind the line of scrimmage. Zero on the entire season. Now, I'm not saying that you have to spam touches for him behind the line of scrimmage. I'm not saying you need to give him.
But every once in a while, because guess what? Don't you think he might be better in space than Greg Dortch?
Right. And so, you know, you look at it and you say, why are we not getting touches to our quote unquote best playmaker or one of the best playmakers? I think that's where my hold up is where my issue stems from is that I'm not necessarily saying that you have to get this guy, you know, manufactured 12, 15 touches a game, right? Like that doesn't need to happen, but
no.
Why does every catch have to be down the field and contested?
That's wild. It's wild. It really is. And Kyler keeps trying. Like he trusts Marvin. You go down the field. Marv's great. Like that's his skill set. Go up and he has Trey that can do that. He had DeAndre Hopkins who could do that. See, he's used to having a guy who can do that, and he trusts his players, his teammates to do that. But yeah, that's bonkers. That I wanted to talk about as well the narrative that you can't trust Kyler late in games. If you just have a bad memory. Let's look at it this year alone, okay? Against the Rams, he drove them down the field. Yes, that failed. The week before, two fourth quarter scoring. He led you on the game tying field goal drive to get the ball to game to overtime. Never mind that they were down by 10 points. They had the failure against Minnesota. Okay, that's a fail. Okay, he was picked off there. Game-winning drive against Miami. Game-winning drive at the end of the game. The game-winning field goal, Miami. Game-winning field goal, Chargers. Game-winning field goal. Drove the ball down the field. That's just this year alone. Now, he led against the Lions. He went down and led the Cardinals to a field goal with 3:48 left to get them within a touchdown. Guess what? They didn't get the ball back. Against Buffalo, they had the ball. That was a fail, but we also remember that there were two pretty egregious non-calls that should have been interference to Greg Dortch that would have continued, and one of them, it would have been first and goal. It would have been first and goal inside the five, I think it was, and that's just this year. Let's go back to previous years as we go to the game log. If we go to last year, go 2023, game-winning drive in his first game back. Boom, Atlanta. They had the failed comeback against the Texans, okay? So there's a failure there. They had the game-winning game. They had the game-winning play against Philadelphia. In Seattle, he put them in position for a game-winning field goal, and Matt Prater missed it. In 2022, he led them. So we go to 2022. If we remember the Philadelphia game, well, the Raiders game, how he put the team on his back and led them to that overtime win. Granted, that was Byron Murphy that scored the game winning touchdown. But the touchdown pass, the 2-point conversions, those were out of this world. He had against the Philadelphia Eagles. He led them to he didn't put them in position, but they had them, actually he tied the game in the fourth quarter and then they never saw the ball again as Cameron Dicker kicked a field goal. The defense just let Philadelphia go down the field and the defense did that. We go to as well in 2022, they had the Chargers game. Where they score early in the fourth quarter, and then now, granted, that wasn't a fail; that was the defense. They didn't do anything else, but they had a lead in the fourth quarter, and they gave it up at the end. And the two-point conversion. And we've seen other comebacks as well. We've seen them bounce back from that. You look at 2021, you saw the Minnesota, the Vikings game in 2021. You had the game the week eight, the loss to Green Bay, where he took them down the field, and then, you know, AJ Green didn't turn around. You go to other Kyler has been clutch in his career late in games. You've been able to count on him. And that's the wild thing to me, is that our quarterbacks perfect at that? No, but if we look at Kyler has 11 fourth quarter comebacks, 13 game-winning drives in his career. And this year alone, in those seven wins, three of them have been fourth quarter comebacks and game-winning drives, three of them. Now, we're going to remember the two other fails, but that's five since he came back from his ACL. He had three fourth quarter comebacks in 2020 and four game-winning drives. He only had to do that once in 2021. So I don't know. I don't know what the narrative is. Like, you can be mad at Kyler. You can be mad that he's not playing at a Lamar Jackson level, and you can be disappointed at that. But I'm going to point out this, you know, I'm going to say it again. The floor you get from Kyler Murray is average quarterback play. That's the floor. And that's when he's playing at his worst. It's average quarterback play, a guy who will get you in position, and then if he doesn't make the play, someone else does make it goes badly. But you rarely have poor decisions made by him. And that's 100% half the battle in the NFL. He makes good decisions. The execution of those decisions doesn't always work out. And so, okay, I trust Kyler. Do I wish that they'd have won that game? Yes. Do I wish they'd have won that game against Minnesota? Yes. Have the turnovers piled up over the last 6 weeks? Yes. I just hope, like, now, if that is a trend that continues in 2025, okay, you know, then you, like, only so often can you say unlucky, unlucky, unlucky until you're just unluckily bad.
Right, and that goes back to, you know, a conversation we'll have later on, but this team needs their quarterback to overcome their shortcomings and
sounds vaguely like the Cliff Kingsbury era.
Right. And unfortunately they don't, and that's like you said, there's three of those guys. There's three guys that can play over because here's the reality. Everybody loves Joe Burrow and he's putting up huge, huge statistical numbers and you know, putting up all this stuff this year. What's his team's record?
nearly the same as the Cardinals.
So that's, you know, that's always what my question becomes is, like, when people make statements of like, well, you know, you win with guys like that. It's like, do you? Because, like, the reality is right now, no. Like, everybody's like, oh, well, you got him to a Super Bowl. It's like, okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love for the Cardinals to go to a Super Bowl, but until they win a Super Bowl, it's like, does it matter? I mean, you know, they're 8-8 this year. They went 9-8 last year, and I know he didn't play the whole season, but 9-8.
Well, and he's 13-13 in his last 26 starts.
Right. You know, everybody wants to go back and harken back to 2021 when they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Rams, but the reality is that they were, I think, did they end up, were they, no, they weren't the one seed, but, you know, they lost to the Bengals in the NFC or the AFC championship game the year before that. You know, they've been to the playoffs twice with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is great. I'm not trying to say that he's not, but when we put everything, I mean, Joe Burrow has two winning seasons. 10-6 season where they went to the Super Bowl and then the 12-4 season. Other than that, 2-7-1, 5-5, 8-8. Like Jeff said, like statistically great, record-wise average. Like, you know, so let me ask you this, Jess, and this is the question I ask everybody, and so, and the answer is always, you know, the answer is never yes or no. The answer is always but this, that, or the other. If Kyler Murray had 4,600 yards and 42 touchdowns, but they were 7-9 still, would you be upset?
No, I wouldn't be. And you know, it would be an equally frustrating season, I'm sure. But the narrative wouldn't be the same. I know that because, like we've talked about before the season, one of the two things has to happen. Kyler needs video game numbers, or he needs a lot of wins.
Right. And so and that's kind of my point. Like we accept or make excuses for average records for certain guys. You know, the biggest difference between Jaden Daniels and Kyler Murray this year is just touchdown passes, right? Like literally that's it. That's kind of how you have to look at it. Is like if the Cardinals were 7-9 or 8-8, doesn't matter. Same record as the Bengals, right? 8-8 instead of 7-9. And he'd thrown for 4,600 yards and 42 touchdowns. Everybody would be like, fantastic season. Everybody else let him down around him. You know, and we talked about the whole Patrick Mahomes. And again, Mahomes is the best quarterback of a generation, trending to be the greatest quarterback of all time. So I don't want to take anything away from Mahomes, but you know, you look at his games prior to the last, you know, last three, and statistically speaking, it's not like you were talking about a guy that was performing at a juggernaut level, right? I mean, the last three games, he's got 6 touchdowns and no interceptions, but before that, he was at 20-11. And so, you know, you look at the body of work and things of that nature and how games are won and lost, and you can make calls and decisions on that. But the reality is that unless you have an upgrade in mind, and I've seen some crazy things like, oh, go pay Sam Darnold. All right, well, if you want to pay Sam Darnold the same amount that you're paying Kyler Murray, I mean, that's your call. Like, you're literally basing it off of one season where he's gotten, you know, he's had a lot of lucky bounces go his way. Those are the questions you have to ask and answer. And people don't like to have to answer those questions. They just want to be able to say like, well, he's not doing this. And I agree. Like, he's not winning. And that's the bottom line. He's not getting the amount of wins that are necessary. But at the same time, you have to have a plan in place. You can't just move on and go, well, you know, we'll ride it out with Justin Fields next year. Okay. Sounds like fun. enjoy the 3-win season, right?
Yeah. Coming up next on the Rise of Zero podcast, the best of our Cardinals talk a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the defense and a little bit of what we hope to see in week 18. We're not going to preview the game, but what do we want to see in this finale? That's coming up next on Rise of Zero. Back on the Rise of Zero podcast, the best of our Cardinals talk on the web. Talking Cardinals and their defense. I mean, could you have expected much more from the Cardinals defensively? You hope for turnovers, you hope for sacks, but like 257 yards, you hold them to 6 of 15 on third down. That's pretty good. Kyren Williams only has 56 yards. Matthew Stafford only 189 passing yards. I guess the one thing that you would have hoped to have avoided was Puka having as good a game as he did.
Yeah, and it's just one of those situations where Garrett Williams went out and became kind of obvious that they just didn't have the horses, right? And that's something we've talked about, is that good teams are able to overcome those things, not to beat the dead horse of the Kansas City Chiefs, but they beat the tar out of the Pittsburgh Steelers and potentially their best player, definitely their best defensive player, didn't even play. So I think you and I would agree Garrett Williams is probably their best cornerback at this point, right?
Yes.
And so losing Garrett Williams is an excuse in and of itself. He is their best defensive back. That being said, those are injuries and losses that good teams have to overcome. And where have we landed with the Cardinals? They're decidedly average. So, you know, it's not crazy to think that had a played an outcome in the game, because, you know, he is without a doubt their best coverage guy, best option on Puka. You know, I think we need to applaud the effort in terms of what they were able to do in limiting Kyren Williams in this game. That was definitely yeoman work on that. You know, the end result is always going to be something that we discuss, and we knew that it would be an uphill battle at best and really bad at worst. And this was one of those really bad games. And again, I don't want to take anything away from the defense, but I think you had the most sacks in the game, right, Jess, for the Cardinals?
Well, we were tied. You and I were both tied for the team lead.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, again, that's where games like that, they come down to little nitpicky things. And one of them typically is, are you able to create negative plays for the defense and or for the offense? And the Cardinals, too many times this season, it's something that we've, you know, kind of discussed ad nauseum. Just too many times this season, the sacks come in bunches. You know, they're right in the smack dab middle of the NFL in terms of sacks overall. But they come in bunches, and that's where and what hurts them more than anything is that they're unable to create consistent plays or consistent pressure and create sacks. You look at it, they're 26th in interceptions. We talked about that at the beginning of the show. You know, but I guess if those guys could catch, they'd probably be receivers, right? So what are you going to do?
That was the knock on Buda Baker coming out of college. It was.
And so, you know, you have these situations, and that was the big takeaway for me from the defense is like, you just like, eventually you have to create a negative play. They're bottom four in the NFL in terms of pressures. You know, and our pressure is considered any hurry plus knockdown plus all sacks. They have 101 on the season. Only the Patriots, Titans, and Panthers are below them. So those are the areas defensively that need to improve. But they're close. And that's something that I think Jonathan Gannon and Mac Wilson and Nick Rallis and those guys have all discussed. But if you look at almost all the metrics, both, you know, base metrics, you know, that we talked about earlier, and then advanced metrics, they're decidedly an average team. And that's where they have to find a way to make that move or take that next step is, you know, defensively it's creating turnovers and negative plays for the opposition. And then offensively, you know, we talked about it, they have to score touchdowns.
All right. Now, San Francisco, we don't want to preview the game, but what do we need to see this week? Is it as simple as they need to win and look okay doing it, since San Francisco is markedly not good and going to be having Josh Dobbs a quarterback, and there's no excuse to lose to Josh Dobbs when he's starting a quarterback, honestly.
I mean, that's the hard part, Jess, is like you put that type of pressure on and
when we know, what do you have to do? Keep him from running. Keep him from running.
Right.
And that's about it. If you contain his legs, they're going to struggle offensively.
Well, they haven't had a good defensive game since they beat the Bears in week 14 to get to 6-7. They're on a 3-game losing streak. You know, they lost to the Rams 12-6. That game sounds familiar. They were kind of beat up by the Dolphins. And then obviously last night was just a, you can't really take anything away from that game. I mean, the Lions are so superior to the Cardinals in on an offensive scheme standpoint that you can't really compare. But the biggest thing is that when they force turnovers, they win football games. When they don't, they lose. I mean, as easy as that sounds.
And they've been turning the ball over at a consistent rate. They've had turnovers in, you know, eight straight games.
Yeah, 8 straight games. And by the way, they're 3-5. Sorry, 2-6 in those games, Jess. And
only generated 2 takeaways.
Right. And so that's the key. I mean, it's simple. Sometimes football's easy, right? Like you gotta slow down George Kittle, Juwan Jennings. Their running game is basically non-existent. It is Isaac Garrido the guy now? I think
he is the guy right now. Yes.
Well, so Isaac Garrido, you gotta stop him. Jordan Mason's out. You know, Christian McCaffrey obviously was done for the year. So it really comes down to George Kittle and Juwan Jennings. We're seeing Ricky Pearsall really come to life. He had a huge, huge game. If Garrett Williams is out, that's going to be a problem because Pearsall is going to cause issues.
He should be in because he was checked for concussion. He came back in at the end of the game is what Gannon said.
So, and then you have obviously the Dobbs situation. Like you said, you got to contain Dobbs from running. That's basically, it's an oversimplification, right? But you got to contain Dobbs from running because even last night in his very, very limited snaps, he ran for a touchdown. Against the Lions because that's what he does well. I mean, he's super athletic and he's able to make those plays. It really comes down to containing that trio of Jennings, Pearsall, and mostly Kittle, and then attacking them defensively. They're just not the same team defensively. My buddy Kyle Posey was talking about it, posting about it last night on X. The reality is they have one guy that wins up front. That's Nick Bosa. Even the great, and we're talking great, Fred Warner has not looked the same this year. Let's hope he doesn't have a throwback game against the Cardinals, right? But
that would be it. That would happen. That would definitely happen.
But yeah, he's looked like he's slowed down slightly from a coverage perspective, but he is phenomenal. They have great outside corners and Dimodor Lenore and the rookie Renardo Green's playing extremely well. So like they've got some guys, but they're not the complete team that we had seen in the past. And without Purdy, obviously Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams is I mean, why would Trent Williams play in this game, right?
Oh, he's done for the year. They had Charlie Heck starting at left tackle.
Yeah, so former Arizona Cardinal great, Charlie Heck. So, I mean, this is a game where you feel like you said, they should win, but, I mean, should and the Arizona Cardinals is not something that consistently happens, right? So that'll be something to watch and see how it plays out. But they've got the ability to, let's put it that way, right? More than they should. They have the ability to take care of business in this game. Let's hope that they're able to do so and really kind of finish the season on a strong note so we can take some positives away and go into the offseason saying, okay, you know, they blew it in this game, but they handled business. You know, they played the Rams, the NFC West champs, real tight, and then they beat up on the 49ers when they were at their low point. Those are positives that you can take into the offseason.
And with that, we will wrap up this edition of the Rise of Syria podcast, Superstar Cardinals Talk on the Web, episode 629. We should have a preview show later in the week. We'll figure out when to do that. That's it, Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening as always. We'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise Up Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.